Hey guys, welcome to Broad Street to Britain, a UK Phillies podcast. And it is me, Dave Shaw, and I'm excited, guys. A lot has happened in this All-Star break already, but what I'm most excited for, guys, is I'm joined by my OG team. Yes, it is me, Dave Shaw. Yes, it's Alex Carr and Ryan. Ryan's back, guys. Woo!
Hey, nice to see you, Ryan. There we go. Ring the bell. Let's go, Phillies.
Ryan, my man, how are you, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm so good. It's nearly summer. For teachers, that is like just music to their ears. All good.
Go, Phils. That's wild.
I like how you said it's nearly summer. One, because it's your summer holidays coming up. And two, because the weather here has been anything but summer. I've gone from the 100 degree heat from Philly last week into this, which has just been cloud, rain, and cold.
Hey, we got a sponsored walk-in with our school today along the river. It was beautiful.
Check you out.
It was nice, yeah. The weather around today has been absolutely awful, but Thursday was just like divine.
I feel like I'm living under a constant cloud down here then. It must just be me. Everyone I talk to around the country is like, yeah, it's been really, really nice. It's like, I've not seen the sun since Philly. Like,
I'll tell you who's living under a constant cloud. The New York Mets.
Always. Yeah. Always. Ryan's back, everybody. we'll get to that shortly. Quickly, Alex, over there in the sweltering heat that you guys have been having.
But I just lugged what had to have been 80 pounds of groceries from Trader Joe's all the way. I took a subway and I walked all the way back to my apartment to be here on time. So I am sweaty and gross, and that's why I have a hat on. But I'm here because Ryan's here. That's why I showed up.
We are rolling back the years. Hopefully, this will be the first of many to come with Ryan back, because it's good to have you back on, buddy. We've missed you.
Too good.
We've missed you. I've had.
I'm here. I'm watching the Phils. I'm watching baseball. I'm soaking up the stats. The box scores are my friend, because when I can't always watch the full games and stay up like you, Dave, you absolute madman. The box scores are my friend. The highlight packages from MLB are my friend, I must admit. But, you know, the Phils are still a part of life. They always will be. And it's good to be on talking them in a bit more detail today.
Yeah, man. We missed your insight. And, mate, you would love this. We've been proper diving into the minors this year with our proper prospect talks as well. Because, you know, I remember when you were on the show, when you'd go into your minor player of the week, we'd have Derek Hall, Alec Bohm, you know, players who are now up in the first team. It's really cool to see him come full circle. I was like, when Derek Hall came up for the first time last year, I'm like, I remember Alex talking about Derek Hall when he was in the minors. It's like, ah.
We cover it all on here. We always did. And I'm sure you've been doing it in my absence. You guys are great. It all gets covered.
We do our best.
Yeah, but nobody debates with me, Ryan. And that's what I need. That's we what did, I need. Yeah, I need someone to tell me that Richard Rodriguez is a must acquire at the trade deadline, only for him to then get absolutely destroyed. I need
and Ryan,
that.
And I need Ryan
He's
to tell
bringing
me...
the receipts. I need to Ryan, remember one.
I need Ryan to tell me that the Phils aren't going to go 162-0 in the season.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I was on the preseason prediction one with the UK fans, and
you were.
I think most of us kind of got it right, in the sense that we were honest. We said the Braves are far and away the best team in the division. We just got to make sure that we make the playoffs, and you know, with a lot of home games left on the schedule, and you don't want to tempt fate by saying the schedule gets easy or we have a lot of home games. But no. the truth is that even, you know, the computers will generate that the Phillies are on track to make the playoffs as long as they don't completely go all New York Mets.
Well, yeah, and it's great. It's great because also, and I don't think I've ever seen Buster Olney say anything nice about the Phillies in my entire life of, I guess, at least following on him on Twitter and seeing him on TV. what he tweeted yesterday about, you know, the Phillies are 23-9 since June 3rd, blah, 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 blah. What really stuck out to me was he was like, and they are looking for like a resurgent second half offensively because all of these, you know, struggling players, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, that's so true. We haven't seen Trey Turner yet. We right. haven't seen Kyle Schwarber yet. We haven't seen Bryce Harper with a power bat yet. We haven't seen who the Phillies are adding at the trade deadline. I mean, and there is reason to believe that, this
exactly what I was saying on the last pod on Tuesday with Jack and James. And one of the most positive things I have is that, oh God, we have got a favorable schedule, but let's, you know, baseball's not played on paper, as we all know. But like we just said, we haven't seen Bryce be Bryce yet. We haven't seen Trey be anywhere near what we know Trey Turner can be. Right. Kyle Schwarber, okay, I don't even look at his average. Just keep the RBIs and home runs high. But he hasn't been that consistent this year. JT, I still feel there's more to come from him. Obviously, Aaron Nola is far from the Aaron Nola we know. Will he get there? That's the big question mark. Zach Wheeler's not quite to his Zach Wheeler standard. Suarez seems to be struggling a bit. You know, there are so many players. I still feel there's more to come from Alec Bohm. I still feel there's could be more to come from Bryson Stott, Brandon Marsh. I still feel all this team, especially Trey, JT, Kyle, Bryce, Zach, Suarez, Nola, have got so much more to come. And I think it will come. Bryce is going to get healthier. Hopefully this All-Star breaks on him. Good. Bryson Stott got banged up in the last game before the All-Star, but he looks okay. Trade deadline's coming. Dave Dombrowski, I have no doubt, is going to go for it. No doubt about it. Because this is our win now window. You know, this is our, all our players are entering their peaks right now. We've got to go for it.
Do you mean to say that you didn't predict that Nick Castellanos would carry the Phillies offense?
Oh, well, I
did. Craig Kimbrel, the shutdown closer.
Listen, I And I think that is a testament, though, to how different this current Phillies organization is than the one that we started talking about 5 years ago, right? Like, it is very, it's plain as day that they took Craig Kimbrel on, a guy that, you know, has gone through all the reclamation projects possible over the last, you know, Dodgers really didn't, you know, fix him, as it were. Comes to Philadelphia and they figured him out, right? They got him back on track, back on the horse. And, you know, we look at some of these other arms that they've developed. We look at some of these other, you mentioned Bryson Stott. Bryson Stott's on pace for a 4-win season. Like, we're looking at a very different Phillies regime than we have seen in years past. And it's very, very exciting to then be staring down a trade deadline where, you know, they have the opportunity to acquire similar players that maybe they see something and they can tweak a couple things and make something work and bolster this team for a deep postseason run. You hope?
Absolutely. Well, let's get into that now. Let's go into the trade deadline because it's been wild the last couple of days on Twitter, mainly fan driven. But we'll start with Soto, haven't we? Really, you know, I know it's probably pie in the sky.
It is.
Yeah, it fly back with the team. He's worked with Kevin Long before. He's played with Trey and Bryce before. But boy, oh boy, like Soto in that outfield. Although then if Bryce returns to the outfield as well, then we got Casty, Bryce, Soto, Marsh, Pache. You know, Schwarber will have to be permanent DH. That'll probably see the end of Reese because probably the first baseman by then, maybe. But I don't know. But could you, and what would you give up for Juan Soto, guys?
I mean, if the Padres were to flip Juan Soto, you're looking at returning a package to them that is similar to what they gave up for him, right? Yeah. Because the only thing that's changed is that he's lost a year of control. So to burst everyone's bubble, the Phillies don't have that. They don't. I mean, they do, but that's mortgaging everything on one player. Right. And a player that doesn't necessarily even, you know, fix their greatest need, as it were. You know, you're looking at Andrew Painter. You like Andrew Painter? Bye. You like McGabe? Bye. You like Gary? Bye. You like Aiden Miller? They can't trade this first round pick, but you know, of something of equivalence by Justin Crawford, by, like, you know, it is going to take your entire farm system. And it's just simply not happening for the same reason, probably, that I don't think the Angels are. It's not that I think they don't want to trade Shohei Ohtani. They probably will. But I don't think they can. I don't think anybody has the ammo to trade for Shohei Ohtani. I just don't. Because whoever trades for Shohei Ohtani, they get first crack at re-signing him this offseason. And that's enormous. That is so huge. Because if you can convince that guy to stay with your club, that alone is worth an exorbitant price tag. So I don't know. Juan Soto's not happening. I don't even I don't see any point in discussing it, really.
Don't get us wrong. We'd love to see him in a Phillies
uniform.
Absolutely. You know, let's just get that.
If and Soto it just so does, happens by Kyle Schwarber's contract expires the year he becomes a free agent.
Exactly. Let's talk to it a little bit more realistic. Ryan, starting with you. The Cards are going to be sellers. Now, what that means, we're not too sure yet. Does it mean Goldie Arenado? Who knows? But they've got a lot of players on their team that I would love to see in a Phil's uniform. Ryan, what sort of packages would you like to see the Phil's do with the Cards? You know, obviously, Arenado, again, is going to cost you probably Bowman, some prospects. Goldie's a little bit older. He's an interesting one, but they also have got Montgomery, but I still think their price might be too high. Nubar, he could be an interesting one. Ryan, who in that Cards team would you like to see coming to the Phils?
I don't know. Are we saying that the Phils' area of need is the offense, in the sense that the offense hasn't quite clicked in the first half? Because I don't think the Phillies should necessarily go too wild here, going after some big name or someone that has lots of years of control, because as we've just said at the opening of the show, the top five or six in the order are pretty strong. Yes, they've had a weak start, but I'll tell you what, if the Phillies make the playoffs and they open with Schwarber, Turner, Castellanos, Harper, Real Muto, with Baum down there as well, and Stott, I don't think anyone wants to face that lineup as it is. I'm not saying there's no opportunity to make a trade, but I can't help but feel like perhaps the trade they should be making is maybe some starting pitching. I don't know. I'd be interested to get your guys' thoughts on that. I mean, I know that Christopher Sanchez has come in and done some work. I don't know. I know that I'm not convinced as to where the area of need is. And I think that might be something that the front office is thinking about and debating as well. I'd be interested to get Alex's perspective as well.
Yeah, but just quickly for me, I think a lot of it hinders on whether Bryce can play first or not. And then if he can, then we can move Kyle to a temporary permanent for us this season DH role, get him out the field. The good thing is Pache has come up and been explosive, you know, with the bat and in the field as well. So he and Marsh, you know, Pache set the field and Marsh can cover Schwarber. That gives us a great option offensively. Then you turn to pitching and then we can then, I like a bullpen piece. Sir Anthony's injury is oblique, keeps creeping up. He keeps going to the IL with the same injury. It's a bit concerning. Alvarado's also now second time this season on the IL as well. It'll be good to get another back end ball piece just to be sure, just as cover. If they all come fit and we've got another bullpen piece, excellent. But for me, if Pache can keep it up, obviously, and Bryce can play first, I think for me the priority is pitching with some offensive backup, maybe a good bench player like Sosa was last year. Alex, what do you reckon?
It really depends on what's available. I think that there are a lot of, when you look at, I mean, we started this with the Cardinals, right? When you look at the Cardinals roster, there's a lot of places you can upgrade, right? But it depends on what they're willing to trade, right? I'd assume guys like Tyler O'Neill, Dylan Carlson, maybe those guys with a couple extra years of control, they could be available. In terms of the Nolan Arenados, the Paul Goldschmidts, I think that is very pie in the sky. I also think they're probably going to require more than you'd ideally like to pay for them, because the Cardinals are not motivated to move them, right? They're just not. They're not entering some huge rebuild here. They are retooling for hopefully another run at their division next year. That said, you know, Jordan Montgomery, Jack Flaherty, Jordan Hicks, those guys will be available. But to kind of refute both of you a little bit, the bullpen, unfortunately, is relatively, I don't even know what to call it. It's a logjam a little bit at this point. I mean, Andrew Pilotti can hardly find his way in. Connor Brogdon the same, but he's kind of...
Brogdon's,
you know, he's stunk it up in Lehigh
Valley.
What a
shame as well. His confidence just seems shot. His minor numbers are really struggling.
They're probably just working on something. I don't think they're anything to put too much weight on. But he's probably fine. The unfortunate thing is, you know, you look at the 40-man roster and there's probably only three or four maneuverable spots in here before you start having to cut guys that you actually care about. And that's not what you want to do. So, you know, you have to take into account the 60-day injured list guys, the guys that are currently on the 10-day injured list. You really got to start weighing your options here. I'm not sure they're going to look at a bullpen upgrade unless something substantial is going on with either of Sir Anthony and Jose Alvarado. That's not to diminish their current injuries, but, you know, unless we're looking at, you know, losing them for the entirety of the season, they'll probably pause the
COVID, you know, we can CFA COVID and get an upgrade there. Sure.
Here's the interesting thing. I think they're only hanging on to Dylan COVID because they are down two of their better pitchers. If you're going to take a pitcher off the roster, you're going to need a pitcher to replace him with. Phillies have that. Phillies have Orion Kirkery. The Phillies have, you know, worst case, Connor Brogdon. The Phillies have, well, you know, things, and who knows? It's the trade deadline. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe they're looking to trade Orion Kirkery. Maybe they're using him as like a, you know, if you are a team that's looking to rebuild, we've got this really good reliever. Maybe, you know, maybe he's on the block. You never know. You really can't put too much, faith in any of those things because nothing is certain until after the deadline, right? But what I will say is, you know, the Phillies have negative space for relief help right now. And the only way that they probably get some is that if they lose some, they probably have to decide between acquiring another reliever and like maybe cutting someone like Connor Brogdon, which they don't want to do, I don't think. So
and Marte has no options, does he?
He does. Oh, yeah, he does.
Andrew
Vasquez is out of
Vasquez. Vasquez is
and
the one I've not.
So is I keep wanting to say Trevor Hoffman. So is Jeff Hoffman. They are both out of options, and they are both.
Hoffman has no options either.
No, so they are both. They are both probably.
Trevor Hoffman definitely doesn't.
I tweeted earlier this season. What Rob Thompson used him in like a really high leverage scenario, and it ended up costing them the game. And I was like, I don't know why Jeff Hoffman was his choice there, or why Trevor Hoffman was his. I mix them up every time. I don't know why Trevor Hoffman was his choice there. And it was such a Freudian slip because I was like, oh, yeah, Trevor Hoffman's the guy that closes the games. Yeah. Jeff Hoffman is
I must say that based on the chat that's just ensued there, I don't think that I would have had the bullpen down personally as an area for improvement. I'm not convinced I think Sir Anthony may well come back and do a job towards the back end of the season and Alvarado as well. Now, if that's the case, then someone, you mentioned the name of all the Cardinals that you mentioned, given that that was the question you asked, I'd be leaning towards Jordan Montgomery as the option, and having an actual veteran arm whose contract expires at the end of this season. So the Phillies are not necessarily committing themselves to any financial obligation beyond the year. That would be a move that I would be more interested in personally.
I think they might be tempted to go after one of the higher priced rentals. The problem is if you're going after Marcus Stroman, you're going after Jordan Montgomery, one of those guys is getting, you know, a pretty substantial prospect from a team, right?
Yeah.
Like you're not looking at probably the Andrew Painter, McAble, Griff McGarry, Justin Crawford tier, but you're probably looking at like the Johan Rojas, maybe, you know, I don't think Carlos De La Cruz is in the same tier as Johan Rojas, but like that would be something that gets a conversation started, right? You're looking at those guys. And I don't think what you're getting from that starting pitcher, especially that starting pitcher being your fifth starter, I don't think that's really worth parting with a someone who projects to be a major league regular in somebody like Johan Rojas.
So then it comes back to the question that we were kind of at, which is,
yeah.
Are any of these moves actually necessary? And are they just luxury moves that we're making as fans on Twitter because we like to make moves all the time? The organization may well just think this is a good team.
Yeah, that might be what ends up happening. Now, what I will say is that I think the Phillies have a couple of guys, prospects that they're probably going to dangle, guys that are kind of at peak value that maybe are blocked, that maybe they want to move on from. And I think what that probably manifests in, I mean, I'm okay saying this. I feel bad about it a little bit, but you know, Simone Muziati is totally blocked.
That's your man,
in this
Alex.
Organization. I love him to death. He's having one of the best years a Phillies prospect has had in quite some time. You know, he's just doing outstanding in Lehigh Valley. He's not striking out. He's hitting for a little bit of extra base pop, you know, and he's hitting like 350. So we love to see it. However, I think that is going to be the piece that they say, okay, you can have Simone Muziati. What arm are you going to give me? And whatever team comes back with the best response is the team that's going to win, you know, that raffle. It's very similar to what happened with Mickey Moniak last year, in that, you know, the Phillies are probably going to be shopping in the rental market because I don't think they're going to pay any kind of multi-year price tag unless something crazy is happening. But, you know, I also don't think any, like Dylan Cease is not going to be available. Like, that's just
surely the Cardinals don't need another.
They don't. So that is why. That's why I'm saying. Sure. But here's the interesting thing. I also don't think Jack Flaherty is worth a Simone Muziati level prospect.
Maybe
you know, if you don't get the bite you want on a Simone Muziati type of package, maybe you wait till the offseason, you utilize him in a bigger deal. And then you acquire somebody like Jack Flaherty for, you know, two lower top 30-esque prospects. But that's where things get interesting is like, is Jack Flaherty an upgrade? Is Michael Lorenzen an upgrade? Is, you know, we can list all these names all day long. What I will say, and I'm not super convinced they need a starting pitcher, what I am super convinced they need is starting pitching depth. And I think that the only real way to acquire that, because there's no, you know, we're not going to be seeing a lot of waiver wire stuff going on before the deadline. The only real way to acquire that is by acquiring a major league pitcher and letting Christopher Sanchez go back to AAA is really what it comes down to. And as much as I have enjoyed watching Christopher Sanchez, I also don't think he's probably going to continue producing at this level. So, you know, and it's not that he's bad or anything. It's just that I don't think down the stretch, we are going to see this same Christopher Sanchez.
It'll be tough for him to maintain that as well. That's a hell of an ask.
I mean,
so we want that sort of Noah Syndergaard type of trade again.
That's exactly what it is.
Would be exactly what the Phillies want.
Granted, Syndergaard made the playoff roster.
The exciting thing is that one, the Phillies always have kept their business close to their chest. We never know what the Phillies are going to do until it's dropped. You know, John Heyman with a big whirlwind tweet or something. But Dave Dombrowski has kept saying he wants to go one better this year. He wants to win the World Series, which gets me excited of, you know, if Dave's in the mood come trade deadline day, we could see something well. We could see some free team trades. I don't know. There could be some real excitement come trade deadline.
One name that I would really keep an eye on that I think is not being talked about enough and that I also think has significant connection to the organization. Michael Lorenzen, yes, has connections to Caleb Cotham, has, you know, all that stuff. Eduardo Rodriguez is just coming off of an injury. He is, you know, obviously he pitched incredibly in his first, like, what? I think he has like 60 innings on the year right now. But he also is probably not going to opt in to this contract that he signed with the Tigers, where he'll be paid, I think it's like a $13 million AAV over 3 years. I think he's probably going to test the waters in free agency.
God, his stats are good this year.
Yes, they are. Well, he's always been a peripheral darling. And he was, you know, under the Dombrowski regime in Boston, I have a really strong feeling that if they can structure a package for it, because I don't know what that value is going to look like, right? But assuming he is a rental name, right? You know, your conversation probably starts and finishes with like Simone Muziati and like maybe a couple other fringe prospects. And I think that, you know, when you look at the Tigers have very little hope in their farm system. I mean, they just added a whole bunch of it in the draft. They had a great draft. But, you know, they could certainly benefit from, you know, obviously they have Riley Green, but they are a little bit light in the outfield if you're, you know, unless you're depending on Matt Mierling to succeed.
I was going to say, they got Matt Mierling. There you go.
Yeah. But, you know, it's it for me. And, you know, and he's also been hot of late. He's doing well. But I think that Simone Muziati could be of interest to them. And I think that the ties back to Dombrowski and, you know, all those things, that could be really interesting. And yeah, he's not the healthiest guy in the world, but again, you're acquiring for depth more than you are for, you know, a guy that's going to be some elite.
Dave thing. Wants something a bit more exciting than this.
Well, no, I'm just like, looking what? At, I'm just looking at his last five games. Apart from his return game against Oakland, he got blew up.
You want him to struggle though, because then the price tag's only going down.
Well, it's like Aaron Nola, isn't it? He's struggling, but his price tag's coming down for now. We're going to make a Broad Street to Britain under the radar trade deadline acquisition. We got our man is Eduardo Rodriguez. Are we going with that?
Sure.
I'm done. I'm just looking at some of his stuff.
I used to love that guy in fantasy baseball. Like a few years ago, that was like a guy that people didn't realize how good he was.
Did he play in the World Series in 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been pretty good, but you know he could turn it on for a few months, definitely.
And that's all absolutely. We need. As a rental, that'll do. Harrison is on the IL.
Yes.
Arise, King Green fans. It could be.
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. It could be Weston Wilson. It could be Drew Ellis. It could be Cody Clemens. But
it'd be so boring.
Man, since spring training, we've been on the King Green train. It could be the year. What do you think they realistically do? They bring up Ellis. Weston Wilson's having a great year as well. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. But
talk to me.
I think the problem is Kingery, as I, you know, this is one where I know you had some receipts earlier, Alex, but I think I always got the Kingery debate right.
You definitely did.
Just too much swing and miss. He doesn't take enough walks. He strikes out fine, and he's still doing it now. He's doing fine in AAA, but just look at the stats. 28 walks, 78 strikeouts. That's at Lehigh Valley. If you're striking out a 4-1 clip at Lehigh Valley, you're going to struggle in the majors to make any serious contact. And he may have the odd hot streak. He may be able to help in some way. He may have he's a high energy guy. People like him. And I like him. He's not the answer right now, I don't think. I don't think Cody Clemens is either, to be honest. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe Weston Wilson can help for a little bit, but that would be the one of the three that maybe you've mentioned that I would think could come up and do something helpful.
If there's one thing the Phils have done well in the last year and a half, it's bringing up youngsters who haven't been up before and then them playing their part. And Weston Wilson could be the next one on that train, first time up. Pitchers haven't worked him out yet. A hot streak, which would become valuable for the Phils for however long, which again, that we saw with Maton last year. And he could be again the next Nicky Maton, who knows for how long, but it'll be him playing his part like Cody Clemens has done, Derek Hall last year. It's potential. I want to see King, because the story would be great. I feel like he's got some redemption in him. He's got a point to prove since Kapler ruined him. and then he was doomed to the miners ever since. Like he's been imprisoned in the miners. It's his time to rise up. I'd love to see it, but I wouldn't be disappointed with Weston Wilson. Drew Ellis has gone well as well. He had a good spring as well. I remember him from spring. Alex, what do you see the Phillies realistically doing?
The Phillies have done remarkably well with minor acquisitions over the last 2 years. Andrew Bilotti last year, finishing top 15 in strikeout percentage in the entirety of the major leagues is is a feat for anyone to accomplish, let alone a guy that hasn't seen the majors in like 4 years. So Andrew Bilotti last year was just a coup. And I think Weston Wilson this year is what Andrew Bilotti was last year. Not in that he's going to have the impact that Andrew Bilotti had, but in that I think Weston Wilson might get added to the 40-man roster before the year is out. I don't think they're going to let him return to minor league free agency. In 81 games, he has already put up a 2020 season. Not only that, but he had arguably the best spring of any. If they didn't sign Josh Harrison, Weston Wilson was probably going to break camp with the club. I mean, he had a magnificent spring. He was hot at the plate, and he could do no wrong on defense, even though he played 8 different positions, right? He was fantastic this spring. And then he goes in and puts up a 2020 season in half a season at Lehigh Valley. I mean, he has been outstanding. He joins also Jake Cave in being he's a fiend in AAA. Just an absolute fiend.
He's the ultimate
What's interesting is that Weston Wilson provides a completely different skill set. Weston Wilson has a great glove, can run on the base paths as showcased in the 2020 season, and hits for pop. He's got an 895 OPS. I only know these off the top of my head because I tweeted about it yesterday. But he's got an 895 OPS in his 81 games at Lehigh Valley this year. And listen, I don't know what they're going to do. Obviously, Scott Kingery is hot right now. Nola is arguing, I think.
Kingery is the answer.
For the case of Scott Kingery, I think Nola is upset. But Nola being my dog, by the way, Ryan. I don't know if you've been on since I got him. So anyway, but I think either way they go, they're probably looking at, you know, whoever they add to be on the 40-man for the rest of the season.
Damn. Just look at Wilson. I realize how I thought he was younger than 28, but he's 28.
No, yeah, he's bounced back and forth. I read a story about him. I think Alex Coffey wrote it. He had a really bad either arm injury, maybe like it could have been a hamate injury. That might just be me with recency bias with the Aiden Miller stuff going on. But I think he had a pretty tough arm injury and he had a hard time recovering from it. It's kind of similar to Jake Cave and how Jake Cave had that back surgery that went awry and you know, was really struggling. Weston Wilson, they took him on as like kind of a little reclamation project, and he has soared under their tutelage. So he has been really, really spectacular. And he's the kind of guy that was close to a call-up before he got hurt with the Brewers. So I think there is a non-zero chance that he gets the call, which would be pretty cool. But I think given Scott Kingery's recent stats and how hot he has been, I think he's hit 330 over the last month. Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the way they go, especially because he's coming up on free agency. And this could be the chance for him to salvage some value for himself. And I think they're going to do that for him because they like him. He's Scott Kingery. They really, above all else, he has been a wonderful person to have in the organization. And, you know, he's got a couple best friends that have dug some pretty deep roots here. I think they give him the shot because they like him more and because he has, you know, more hinging on it. He has a whole free agency on this, or maybe the lack of a contract. Right. So
Weston Wilson's stats this season, he's averaging 0.260, 20 home runs, 58 RBIs, 20 stolen bases, an OPS of 0.895. Kingery, just talking about his hot recent streak, last 28 games for Kingery, averaging 0.330, 6 home runs in that span, 17 RBIs, 4 stolen bases, 9 doubles, an OPS of 1.013. Like, you're getting Scotty at the right time if you're going to bring him up, because he's blazing hot with a bat. He also gives it versatility as well. Yeah, I think we're going to see, but then looking at Wilson's stats there, what you're just saying now, I'm quite excited to, either or, whoever they bring up, Wilson or Kingery, it would be great to see him either in getting a chance. Schedule dropped. Next year's schedule dropped. And there was 2 days in June, which caught the eye. I don't, something happening on the 8th and 9th of June next year, Ryan. A little, the Phillies coming to London, baby.
That's going to be wild. Like,
are you going to go, Ryan?
Yeah, well, of course.
You
yeah,
better.
Yeah. I'm not missing that. I didn't go to the games this year. I just made a decision not to go down. I saw some games in America this year, which I enjoyed. I didn't feel the need to go down this year, although it would have been nice to see friends.
You didn't even tell me that you were here.
I know.
Which is
Ryan.
He was in New York.
He was in your backyard.
And he didn't tell me.
I must admit, but I was
I was in Leeds.
That's true.
I was only in Leeds for a day.
It really wasn't a conscious snub. I was there for about four nights, and I didn't think, although being at Yankee Stadium when the Phillies were there, I really should have dropped you a line. That is true. In fact, you were in the stadium at the same time, I believe.
You were in the same ballpark.
Yes, and your phone died.
oh, that old chestnut. Yeah.
Hey, I love socializing. We could have shared an old corn dog or whatever. I don't mind.
You got to get that. Next time you're there, you got to get the chicken bucket. That's the classic.
The chicken bucket. Okay.
You know what?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I will be in New York, and I'll be there pretty much every year around that time, notwithstanding any problems. So I'll see you at the back. I'll see you at the back end of April.
Okay.
No excuses this time, boys. This is it needs to happen. The Phils start at home at last. It seems like it's been we started against Oakland last year, but we've got the Braves and the Reds to start things off.
That's always awesome.
Next April looks pretty nice. We got the Cards, the Nats, the Pirates, the Rockies, the White Sox, the Reds again, the Angels.
Nice.
Not a bad April. May as well. It's not. Giants, Marlins, Mets, Rangers, Giants. August, September is quite a brutal run. Mariners, Dodgers, Braves twice, Astros, Marlins, Braves again, Jays, Tampa Bay, Rays, the Mets, the Brewers, the Mets again, the Cubs in August, September. That's a hell of a run. July is not too bad. But so if you haven't seen it already, the schedule is out. We want to get some early planning for London and whatever trips. The Phils return to Baltimore for the first time since 2018. A road trip I'm dying to do, and they put it right after London, which is just no good. They're also going back to Boston as well. Some good little road trips for next year's schedule. Padres this weekend, chaps. Four games.
I would just say, firstly, that I think I'll be in, I said the end of April, it'll be the end of March. So I'll probably catch the opening series this year in Philly, I think. And they're playing Cincy, right?
Oh, great. The
Braves and Cincy, yeah.
So I'm hoping that will marry up somehow with, I'll do a fantasy baseball draft. I'll watch some of the opening series in Philly. And I'm hoping that I can get some WrestleMania tickets. I can't lie. That is in Philly this year.
Yeah, it is.
I can't. That's my secret hobby, guys. You can scoff, you can laugh.
Oh,
I don't care.
I know. I'm surprised by how many people I know that really like wrestling.
Yeah, it's never my men thing.
I didn't grow up with it. It wasn't my thing. But I feel like I'm missing something.
I know there's a couple of guys from the UK, Phillies fans, who are going over, doing the same as you, going to the home series and then going to WrestleMania after as well.
It'll be a great weekend. Just think about that. Really, yep. I got to get in touch with Liam.
Yeah, get in touch with Liam Happ, because I know for sure that's his plans as well. I think there's going to be a few in the same. It's definitely a few in the same boat. Padres four game series, three ish UK friendly times. Fridays is 11:05 start. Darvish versus Sanchez. Darvish with a 4.8 ERA. It's high. Is Darvish not been doing it this year for the Padres?
And he signed a 6-year contract extension.
Oh, eat it, Padres.
Began. What a shame.
This has been a weird year for pitching. Like the difference in the rules, the difference in the clock. I mean, I'm sure you guys have spoken about this during the year, but as a fantasy baseball player especially, I've noticed that it's been very hard to predict coming in who would have a good season and who wouldn't, you know?
Yep.
Absolutely. And then talk about players who have turned it around this year and pitches. Blake Snell is a 6.05, the first of a doubleheader.
He's on fire.
Now his ERA is on a 2.85. It was
unbelievable.
What a turnaround.
And I can't believe he didn't make the All-Star team. I'm absolutely
I'm
gutted for him. He's a free agent this year. He's a free agent.
Yeah,
and those things matter in contract negotiations.
There's a lefty that will plow through the Phillies.
Yeah. You want to talk about
that? Yeah, against Taijuan Walker. Should be a good matchup, but Snell is
They
should sit Bryce Harper. Patient. Sit Bryce Harper in that game.
You have to be patient though with Snell. You know, he'll miss the zone. He has some control issues every now and again. Yep. You got to take some walks. So if you're just free swinging, he will strike you out.
He sure will. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be. He could literally mow his way through our lineups. It could be. And that's
did you see what happened with Jesus Luzardo the other day?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that one.
They need a right-handed bat as soon as. Yeah, he's. I think he might win Cy Young. If I'm honest,
I've got money.
Zach Gallen is probably going to do it, but I think Luzardo. I think he might do it. Given just how good he's been over his last few games, I think he's going to have a second half.
You mean future Philly Zach Gallen? Locked in the taxi with Topper over the weekend?
I don't think so, but I wish.
That's a cool story. He's from Philly. His family are all Philly sports crazy. You know, everyone straight away, he's a Philly. Zach Gallen's a Philly.
I knew as soon as he debuted with the Marlins that he was going to be a perpetual Philly killer because he is just so good.
And here we are. The doubleheader that Padres haven't named their starter yet, but we will have Ranger Suarez going. Hopefully, Rangers shaking off whatever's going on with Ranger in his last two outings and get back to June Suarez that we saw and loved, because boy, we need him back to where we know he can be. And then Sunday's UK friendly 6:30, Seth Lugo versus Zach Wheeler. Lugo's having a nice season for the Padres.
So is Michael Walker. So good for the Padres for doing something.
So where's it going wrong? The Padres, 43-47, the 6 games back from the wild card. Where's it going wrong for the Padres? The pitching looks all right. What's
bullpen
going on?
Is pretty bad, and the team chemistry is not great, or so the story goes. There are apparently a lot of strong personalities that are kind of clashing a little bit, which is interesting. Or at least
you don't want to go on a night out with like Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis. Like,
see, the thing is, there are so many guys on that club that I like. Like, Manny is by all accounts a good person. So is Juan Soto. I can't speak to, you know, really any of the other guys. Jake Cronenworth is a great guy. You know, there's a lot of great people on that club. Something tells me, and I can't speculate because I don't freaking know, but something tells me that there's probably one of those guys, one of the guys that is going to be there for a long time, is probably souring the mood a little.
One thing I love about that team is that I was hearing that Soto's underperforming, and I just went to look at his stats, and it's like 83 walks, 79 strikes.
If you think that the Phillies fan base doesn't like Rhys Hoskins, wait till they get a load of Juan Soto. They are going to be, when he is running a 450 on base percentage, they're going to say, where are the home runs?
Why is
he hitting 260? Why are we paying him to hit 260? Because he's getting on base at such a huge clip that he can't put the bat on enough balls
He has about 64 more walks than strikeouts in his entire career.
That is insane.
That's like 3,000 plate appearances. That is unbelievable.
I believe he is maybe fourth all time in walks, total walks, before the age of 25.
He's making Kevin Youkilis rubbish.
What'd you say?
How frustrating must that be as a player? You know, every at bat, you know, they're hardly going to throw anything to you, and you know you're walking to first base.
But he also just has I really hope they institute the challenge system in balls and strike calling, because Juan Soto will get it right every time. He knows the zone better than probably every player in baseball that's not named Luis Arraez. Like, it's remarkable how good he is.
Will we have the automatic zone very soon?
No.
No, it's still very early trials, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. I don't complain really. I try to avoid complaining about referees in football and umpires in baseball because they do a good job. But when I was watching the London series, actually, the second game, it showed up on TV so badly. Some of the players were visibly annoyed at how bad the umpiring was. It was bad.
When I went to the Leicester-Leeds game, I was at the game that the match where they disallowed the 8th-minute goal from Leicester because of VAR. And from that moment on, I have been completely and utterly unabashed about my dislike for all sports referees in any capacity. I just can't do it anymore. I can't.
Yeah, well, forgive me for having no sympathy. You got fairly lucky that Patrick Bamford couldn't hit the side of a Renault Espace.
Yeah, you're right.
Classic Mike Bassett reference. I didn't think we'd be getting that.
To be fair, that Leicester also came up very short in that match. Yeah, but anyway, we both got relegated. It's
and you
fine.
Both went down anyway, so come
we're
on.
We're talking to a like European stalwart over here. Like, look at this guy.
Look at this championship nonsense. What's that? What about Europa League? Not even conference. Europa League.
It's incredible. I'm going to get a Seagull shirt.
And by the way, I can tie, as you see, the great link, guys. Brighton playing Philadelphia in less than 2 weeks. If you're in the Philly area, if you're near the link, Brighton v Chelsea, add the link. Big crowd expecting. Get yourself down there. Support the Albion. All you need to know is Seagulls and Albion. Just sing that. You'll fit right in. And it's a big game.
Go down the football route.
Anyway, now my tribal football side's coming out.
This is why we need you, Ryan.
Ryan. By the way, talk about officiating. How bad are the New York calls been this year as well for the Phils? Oh, some dreadful calls.
Some of the replay reviews
have been awful.
I've tweeted this so many times, but I don't know what the point is of having challenges if they're gonna just make the wrong call. There's too much weight being placed on the call on the field, and that shouldn't matter. That truly shouldn't matter. Substantial evidence, my butt. I cannot believe, particularly with the call on Kyle Schwarber. When was that?
He was safe.
A couple weeks ago. He was very clearly safe, but because they didn't get a good enough angle on it, they, for whatever reason, they couldn't make the call.
And if it can't be determined because it's not enough evidence, give the challenge back, at least.
I can't fathom it.
We're all fired up now. Look at us.
I don't like to bash umps, but I know the umpire union want them to keep their jobs, I'm sure, and I understand that. But there's actually, it's so objective, the strike zone, when it's being done by a computer, it's probably one of the easiest places in baseball to implement the use of technology, easier than checking a tag at second base, because your view's not going to be obstructed of the strike zone,
and it's not noticeable. There's still going to be an umpire behind home plate calling balls and strikes. They're just going to get it from an informational system. They need to be there to make calls at the plate. They're just going to get it from a system, so it doesn't take any of the human aspect away. They still keep their jobs. It doesn't change anything. It just changes who's making the actual call. And if you can make it so that the call has a 100% accuracy rating, why wouldn't you?
I probably shouldn't mention any more of the London game, because I know that by about the second inning, Dave was so drunk that he doesn't actually know who was playing.
Ryan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I saw the photos. He's in the outfield with Pete Pratt, Miami Marlins.
Didn't end well for me.
Wait, I haven't heard about that, and I'll need to hear about that.
There's some stories
because I too had a couple beers with Pete Pratt in Leeds. And it was a great. That's the guy to have
beers. That man's a bad influence.
Oh, yeah. He is, but in the best way.
10 a.m. downing pints.
Oh,
Pete Pratt, you bad man.
And I tell you what, I know I'm on a Phillies podcast, but I can't help but like what the Marlins are achieving. Oh, no. I have so much respect for them. I hope we overtake them, and I'm sure that we will.
It's simply unsustainable. Their rotation is wonderful. The bullpen is god awful, and I like AJ Puck and I like Tanner Scott.
I don't think the bullpen isn't god awful. Andrew Nardi is good. Stephen Oker.
Nardi's hurt.
AJ Puck is pretty good. That bullpen's not awful. The rotation's very good.
It's
and I think
incredible.
The offense
it's always
is,
been incredible.
Underrated the offense. They're getting production out of Sanchez.
I can't see Cooper Loop doing it for this lot. I can't see him sustaining it. Arias is. It looks like a really good. Like
well, of course he is. He won the batting title last year. I mean, he's obviously very good. But it's when you start like Brian De La Cruz is awesome. I'm a huge Brian De La Cruz believer. I'm a huge
Jazz back as well.
Yeah, I'm a huge believer.
The Marlins have the fourth toughest schedule for the rest of the season.
I'm not saying that I think that they will sustain the pace or that they'll even make the playoffs, but I'm saying that I'm impressed on their budget with what they're doing.
Yeah, no.
I think the Phillies overtake
Pete probably loving this. You're gonna have to tag him.
I'll clip Pete in this and I'll send him straight to Alex's mentions.
Oh, he's gonna start going ballistic
because this is money to his ears, not right? You. Marlins don't sustain it. By the way, my take, Marlins missed out in the playoffs.
You're gonna have egg on your face. You
I don't know about that. I do.
No,
I
think Marlins
missed
out. I don't think they'll sustain it. That run they've got coming up is brutal. If they get through that, they win the whole thing. I'm telling you, but nah. Yeah. And I remember telling while I had my sunstroke, I did say to Pete that the Marlins looked legit, but it was a hot day. I wasn't feeling it. right, guys, really quick predictions on this weekend, series with the Padres. Best of four. Ryan, best of four. What the Phil's doing?
I think they'll take two.
I'll take that.
I think they'll take two as well.
We're saying split. We'll say a split. I'll take a split, to be honest.
Just I think Philly's Twitter is going to melt down after the first game because I think Christopher Sanchez is just going to get absolutely shelled, if I'm completely honest with you.
Alex, no.
Listen. The pitchers are at a disadvantage coming out of the All-Star break anyway.
Although, did you remember that the Phils got swept by the Cubs on the first series back from the All-Star last year? That's true. And we've got the Brewers coming up after, which is going to be an interesting series, actually. That's a quite important series. I'll take a split. I'll take a split now. One more bit of news. We sort of touched heavily on the draft the last show with Jack, but the Phils drafted another English player. English raised. I'm going to say his name right here. Avery Owusu-Aseidu.
I didn't know he was. Was he,
raised,
in the UK?
In England. He was raised in England. Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah,
then.
We were tagged in. I was tagged in a post earlier. Checked it out, and sure enough, he was raised in England. So Avery Owusu-Aseidu, ninth round pick, outfielder. We'll keep tabs on him.
Keeping
tabs on great Gabriel Rincones, who is at an absolute fire right now in High A, and I'm really hoping he keeps it up and gets a promotion to Double A. But there's a bit of a logjam forming in outfield up there as well, so it'll be interesting what happens to Gabriel. But we will keep tabs on that. Ryan, great to have you back, buddy.
Oh yeah,
I've enjoyed it. That was really good fun. That was detailed, good debate, and pretty positive as well. The Phils are going well.
We're going to win the World Series, aren't we, Ryan? We're going all the way.
I'd said it again. If the Phillies make the playoffs, no one will want to face the Phils.
They don't. It is true. If the Phillies can get past their own regular season woes at times, in the playoffs, especially given the way that this team cultivated such a strong bond last year, I don't think you want to even come close to this team.
And we saw glimpses of that against the Rays, where that felt like a postseason game, a postseason series. That Rays win, and
these guys love each other.
The guys looked really gelled. The chemistry, it was back. The good vibes we saw last year in the postseason, it looked back. They look back for that race series and then for that game one against the Marlins and then games 2 and 3, sort of, yeah. But love it. Ryan, great to have you back. We will we'll pod again next week after the Padres series, hopefully reflecting on a series win would be huge, a split would be great. But yeah, like I said, don't forget, we got swept to the Cubs in the first game series back from the All-Star last year. You know, we just hopefully the Phils will come out the All-Star break back on all cylinders and really kickstart the second half of the year. But that is it from me today, guys, and from the team. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, from me, Dave Stewart is ringing the bell. Let's see if Ryan remembers. Ryan,
ring the bell.
Yes, Alex,
ring the bell, Dave.
Cheers, guys.
All right. See you soon.